We've got some testimony evidence. I want to share with you a little story before we go to the first slide. We'll hold the slide just now. This is a story, and it's from a camping and caravan site called Port Ban in the Mull of Kintyre, on the west of Scotland. And I met a lady there called Jane. This is all with their permission, so please don't be concerned about, you know, Data Protection Act and all that. It's all okay. I met this lady, Jane, and I'd been speaking at the church there at the caravan site one Sunday morning, and I shared a little bit about healing. She comes to me afterwards, the meeting, and she says, "Malcolm, would you pray with my daughter? My daughter is going to be getting married very soon, and she doesn't have any periods. No periods means no ovulation, no babies. We understand all of that, of course we do. And she really would like to, you know, have family." I said, "Okay, fine." So we went back to her caravan, and I met the young lady, and just with her permission, I put my hand just on her back, around just sort of there kind of thing, in the approximate location of the ovaries. That's not necessary, by the way. You can just release healing by looking at somebody and saying, "Be healed in the name of Jesus." I just felt the Lord was saying to do that, though. I was obedient to his word with her permission. Always important. Please remember that. Never make assumptions. And I just released the healing love of Jesus over her ovaries. And I felt God showed me that there were lumps on her ovaries. She had PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And PCOS can exist in various forms. I'm not a doctor, but there'll be various levels of it. And it can be very serious, or it can just be, less serious. And she had it very seriously. So I just released her ovaries from these cysts. And I commanded the ovaries to be functioning and to shed those cysts. I also put my hand on her head, and I just prayed over the pituitary, which is the master gland right in the center of the head, lies just under the brain. And that that gland there, that hormone gland, releases the gonadotrophic hormones, which actually stimulate the ovaries and the uterus and so forth to produce the hormones. That's all I did. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I just did what I felt Holy Spirit was showing me. Well, I got an email from the girl's mother about 6 weeks later to say that she was having periods. And I get some strange emails, don't I? Okay, I can cope with it. But so she's having some periods. Well, of course, we're excited about that. She gets married, and she has family. Can we have slide number one? Slide number one. Ta-da! There he is. There she is. A little baby girl called Ella. A miracle baby. A miracle baby. A baby that had been called forth prophetically. I called that baby forth. Not of me, but of him in me. He said to me, "Go and do it." And I did. And I released God's healing love over her body, over her reproductive system. And she produced a lovely little baby. Now, a little aside, it's got nothing at all to do with the miracle. This baby is called Ella. And Ella is the name of one of my granddaughters as well. Isn't that nice? That's just a little aside. Nothing to do with the miracle, but we can all celebrate that too. Okay. Now, I've since heard that she became pregnant again, and she has another baby. She's now got two of them. I don't have a photograph of that baby. But I meet Jane again on this caravan site a little later. Maybe I think it was about a year later or so. And she says, "Malcolm, I've got another problem. Can you pray with me again?" And I said, "Oh, no." I thought to myself, "You're not wanting a baby, are you?" Okay. Well, who knows? So anyway, I said, "Okay, what is it, Jane?" She said, "Well, my son is getting married to a young lady, and she doesn't have any periods either." Oh, I said, "This is a family business." So I said, "Not to worry. Jesus is into it in a big way." So she said to me, will you pray over her?" And I looked her in the eye, and I said, "No, I won't." Now, of course, that's a little surprising, is it not? But if you know me well, you realize it's not surprising, because this is the way it works. People who know me know if I say that, it means there's something better turning up. And if they don't know me, they just hope there is. But I said to her, "Jane, you have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You are filled with Holy Spirit. You have the gifts of the Spirit. You've got the gift of healing." I said, "Right, so give me your hands." So she held her hands out, and I whacked her hands in the name of Jesus. I said, "Be anointed with power and fire. Go and lay healing hands on your prospective daughter-in-law." And I said, "And she will have periods and give birth." Slide number two. Twins. Double portion. double portion. Come on, guys, double portion. Isn't that amazing? Guys and gals, come on. I think it's pretty exciting when God turns up and does stuff. Don't you? Well, these two young ladies certainly did. And they are eternally grateful, not to me, but to Jesus in me, to the Christ. Because you see, I heard the word of God, and I released the word of God, and I said, I really believe, and I prophesied over the prospective daughter-in-law that you will have periods and you will have babies. And there we've got a double portion. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that amazing? And I want to say to you, any lady here who... you may not be wanting family, but if you've got, and I'm not going to go into any detail, but if you've got any issues in that personal area, reach out to God. Because the testimony I share is about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. And I've seen women healed of all sorts of issues in that department. I'm saying to you now, if there's anything that's bothering you at all, reach out to Jesus. And if you want, you know, personal prayer afterwards, that's absolutely fine. I'm not going to ask you to stand or anything like that, but just feel free to come and, you know, speak afterwards if you'd like that. Only up to you totally, and everything you share, of course, is totally private. Of course it is. We understand that. Okay, well, that's exciting. That's a great start, isn't it? And I find that over the years, so I've been ministering, many people have come to me. Shall I tell you a little funny story? A little funny, would you like that? Yeah. A little funny one. Okay. Well, it's funny. It's a nice funny story. I was in France in this congregation. It was a small bunch of people, probably about maybe 40 like ourselves here. And I had a word of knowledge. Now, I wasn't the team leader at that time. I was part of the ministry team. But I had this powerful word of knowledge that there was a lady in the congregation who didn't have periods, wanted periods, and wanted family, a similar sort of situation. Now, of course, it wasn't my meeting as such, so I went to the pastor. And I told him, you know, and he shared the word in French. I just hope he was relaying it correctly and not giving them a cookie recipe or something. But anyway, this little lady comes up to me afterwards, and she said to me, she could speak English. She was French, but she could speak English. And she said, oh, that word that you had, she said, that is for me. And I said, okay, fine. So I said, you know, and I just felt Holy Spirit say, just lay your hand on her head. So again, with her permission, put my hand on her head and just released. And I just said, periods come in the mighty name of Jesus, healing in Jesus' name. And half an hour later, she rushes off to the bathroom. Seriously, half an hour later, boom, in the name of Jesus. Somebody suggested to me I should carry an emergency pack, but never mind. Well, okay, I don't know. You better edit that bit out. That's so funny. Anyway, but that's true though. You see, Holy Spirit just turns up and does stuff. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit just does it. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. So we give God glory for that. Right, okay. I want to share with you now a DVD of a real live testimony of a guy. Well, I'll just let you see the video. Can we have Ashton, please?
My name is Ashton Miller. About 2 years ago, I had an attack on my arm. I was, you know, playing soccer, getting recruited by a lot of colleges, and so I was training really, really hard, and one day I just couldn't lift weights that well anymore. I started losing the grip in my left hand. I couldn't even pick up the bar without dropping it. We went to the doctor, neurologist, everywhere to get tests done, you know, dropped tons of money, tons of MRIs. Said, well, you've got a rare polio virus that's in your, like, in your spine. That's what's caused you to lose your function in your arm. So I'm gonna have to diagnose you as a monoplegic, and there's nothing that we can do. It's incurable. You're gonna have to deal with this the rest of your life. All my hopes were shot down immediately. Malcolm prays for me and said, you know, that's nothing to God. God can heal anything. And so he grabbed my hand, he held my hands, and he just said, God, release your healing love over your son. And I felt a tingling shoot up my arm. And immediately I was just like, in the middle of the prayer, I said, oh my God. And because I never knew that God did something in a prayer like that. And I was like, wow, he came. He came and touched me, and it was so incredible. It felt amazing. It felt incredible. It was mind-blowing, and it's, you know, words can't describe what happened. It's God. I mean, it when you ask God to do something like that and he does it, it totally touches you and changes you. You know, they say the people who believe, you know, signs and wonders will follow. So I just started. I believe that God heals people because I encountered it myself. And so I wanted people to be healed the way I was. So I just prayed for people to be healed. And I didn't see it at first, but then it just started coming and coming and coming. And I see it on a daily basis now. I just want everybody to encounter him the way that I did, because there's no way that you can deny Jesus and deny anything that God does whenever you get to encounter him like this. You can't deny the gospel when God shows up and backs up his word every time.
Thanks. Thanks, Alan. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. What I did, in fact, I just took my hand and I just ran my hand down his arm, just like that. I just said, in the mighty name of Yeshua, be healed. That's what happened. Incredible. And the good news is, that guy, that night, when he went home, he gave his life to Jesus. He gave his life to the King, the one who had touched him. The one whose life had been poured out at Calvary for him. Heaven had come to earth for that young man. And he got the use of his limb back. The doctors could not understand what had gone on. I love our doctors. I love medical team, medical staff, value them, honor them totally. But with all due respect, they don't know everything. None of us do. But Jesus just trumps all that. He trumps all that. And that guy, I blessed him. I've loved him. He's part of my ministry team when I go to Arkansas, when I go to Little Rock. I'm going there in 3 weeks' time. That guy is now walking in a very powerful ministry. He's a healing evangelist, and he now travels himself. He's now, 22 years of age, young guy. But I tell you, he's so filled with the love and the life and the power of Jesus, because that night, in somebody's living room, would you believe? Somebody's living room. It was a home group meeting of about maybe 20 people or so. Not a big conference type meeting of 1,000. Oh no, it was about 20 people in someone's living room. And God just reached out and touched him. Isn't that wonderful? I give God the glory for that. Come on, let's give him the glory. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Okay, and I think I can use the next one. Oh no, wrong way. Which way am I going? Oh, there we go. That's fine. Alan's had to give me instructions on how to use it. Now, little warning here. The next image might upset one or two of you. If you like ribeye steaks, you'll be okay with it. But it's an open wound, and it's an incredible, miraculous encounter this lady had with God. I'll tell you a little bit about it before we put the slide up. I'm only telling you this because you might not want to see it. You just put your hands over your eyes. It's out of respect for yourselves, for some of you who might feel a bit queasy. But this lady, she has lupus, and she had had an accident with her leg, her ankle, and she'd gone into hospital. Now, what the lupus had done, I'm not a doctor, but the lupus had somehow damaged the integrity of her bones, and she broke many, many, many of the bones in her foot, which is really quite unusual, but she did. And she went into hospital in America for an operation. They call it just having surgery. And the doctors really couldn't do a lot for her. They cleaned it up. They pinned it, put metal pins in her foot, but the wound was gaping. Now, I'm going to show you in a second. If you don't want to see it, feel free just to cover your eyes if you want to do that. Okay, I'm going to bring it up just now. There we go. Okay, I'll leave it there for a second or two. You can just see that. Not very nice. I'm trying to move back one. Oh, there we go. That's okay. It's off the screen now. For those of you who weren't happy with it, that's okay. I respect that. And the doctors had said to her that the wound is so bad that you're going to have an amputation. She was in pain, and she had one of these medical boots on. And of course, you never interfere, you know, with the medical treatment. I mean, I wouldn't dream of taking the boot off. You just even think of doing that. Absolutely not. And even less so in California, which is the world's center for litigation. It's true. It is. Really, really is. So you just don't touch it. You just trust God. And I said to her, I said, well, I believe that Christ paid the price for you. And I believe that you're going to be healed. The doctors had said, we're going to have to amputate your limb. And that made me angry. I had a touch of righteous anger burning through my soul. And I took my hands and I went bang in the name of Jesus on this boot. I literally went thump on this boot. And I said, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. The pain left her instantly. Now, we couldn't look at the wound because we wouldn't strip the stuff off. Of course not. She goes to her doctors a week later. And in the consultation room, the consultant had stripped off the boot and so forth and exposed the foot. Now, I'm going to flash on. It'll probably flash that rather not so nice image, so close your eyes if you want to. That's okay now. You can look at that one. Okay. Now, that's how it was 7 days later. The pain left her immediately. Now, I don't know over that 7 days how that happened, but the doctors had confirmed that there's no way that wound was going to close up of its own accord. They couldn't operate on it. The wound was too big. And they were going to have to cut her leg off from about the knee down. And I prophesied over her in the name of Jesus. I said, your limb will be saved. Now, I do have another photograph, which I don't have with me here. I was going to give it to Alan, and we never quite got around to that. But there's another image I have, which I can't show you, just now. It's on my phone, of the next stage. And her foot is totally healed over. Totally, totally healed. The consultant in the consulting room, he was absolutely amazed. And he called in other medical staff, nurses, other doctors, office staff. He said, hey, come and look at this. And he said publicly, for a doctor to say this is quite amazing. He said publicly, you have had a miracle in your body. He said, there's no way that wound would heal up naturally by itself. It just couldn't be. It's far too big. It's too big a gash. Laura had a miracle in her body. And I declare over every one of you here today that if you have a healing need in your body, it doesn't have to be a great gaping wound. It could be something else. It could be a wound in your heart, can I say? It could be a broken heart. It could be anything, because God heals not just the physical. He heals our emotions. He heals our hearts. He heals every part of us. Because the work that Christ did on the cross is a completed work. It's a finished work. So I declare that over every one of you, just to take that, to soak it up for yourself and say, Jesus, I claim that right now. I claim that. And I know that as I'm speaking this, Holy Spirit is moving in the hearts of some of you here right now and doing stuff in you. And to give him the glory for that. We give him the glory. Hallelujah. Well, there's more to it. Laura was blind in, I think it was her left eye. She was totally blind in her left eye. And me and my team, we just laid hands on her. And as we do, we stuck our fingers in her eyes, like that, sort of. Okay. Yeah, I just laid my thumbs on her eyes. I didn't poke them out. It wasn't like that. We don't do that sort of stuff. If you do, you put them back in again. So anyway, put our thumbs on her eyes, and I just released healing over her eye, or that one eye, and she got something like 80% of her sight back. Now, of course, the burning question is, why wasn't it 100%? We can have a look at that another time. I can't answer that question in detail. But what I can say is that God turned up in a big way. And she got 80% of her sight back. We were able to hold up some print in front of her, and she could read it, where before her sight was black. She couldn't see a thing. That's incredible. Well, Laura is now able to walk. And Laura can walk without any kind of aids. And I want to show you this. This is all that one morning in the house where I stay. I want to show you this. Oh, no, not that one. No, it's not this next one here. That's a different one. No, we seem to have jumped a bit on that one. It was the next video of Laura walking around the living room, stepping out of a wheelchair. Can we show that? Sorry, I've messed it up. Gordon, Alan was doing the videos, not me. Sorry, guys. All right, there she goes. Just you see that big medical boot? Now she's... It's a great big cumbersome lump on her foot, so which of course is a bit of a hindrance, but the pain had gone. That's the first time she'd been able to get out of the wheelchair. The first time she'd been able to get out of a wheelchair. Isn't that amazing? Can we give God the glory for that? Come on. She'd been in the wheelchair for quite a few months. So of course her muscles were a bit stiff, a bit atrophied. There we go. She's walking. Needs a little bit of help.
That's a big lump on your foot.
But can we get the next video, please? Pain. Alan, that'd be great.
You've got a big boot on your foot, which is, yeah.
But it doesn't hurt.
Coming up, any second now, there we go. Now that's later on that day, which is on her way home. But I ask you to spot what is missing from that video clip. What is it? The wheelchair.
Laura.
No wheelchair. You find it on eBay for $50. That's because it was American.
Watch me fall down looking backwards.
There you go. There is a step back there. Yeah, you don't fall. And Laura has not looked back since. I see her every time I go to Little Rock and just pray with her, minister to her.
Give a thumbs up.
Did he give the...
There you go. Okay, fine. Can we just close that one down? Thank you very much indeed. Isn't that amazing? And every time I go to Little Rock, we meet up, we have a time together, and I just love her and bless her, and I pour out the healing love of Yeshua into her body. There's a bit of a challenge there. She still has the lupus, but it comes and it goes, it comes and it goes, but my heart is that it goes. And that's it, gone. I've seen people healed. I've heard of people in Bethel who have been healed of Lyme's disease, of lupus, of all sorts of... I've seen people who God has healed or have been autistic young people who have been totally healed. Now, not instantly flash bang there in front of you, but the healing has taken place over a period of a few days, a few weeks. And they come back to the church and said, hey, look, here I am, a changed young man, a changed young woman. It's incredible what God can do. There's nothing impossible for God. And I'm here to tell you about that, to energize you, to fire you up, to encourage you, to believe the word of God, to believe everything that is written in here. And I tell you, I believe it. Some of it might sound silly, but I'm telling you, I believe it. And because I believe it, I receive it, and I see it, and I demonstrate it in Jesus' name, because it's him, it's his life. Yeah. Glory, praise God. Okay, can we get the next one, please? I think it's a DVD.
So, anyways, what just happened to you?
Well, I found out I had lost my baby, but now I'm feeling all kind of movements, and I think it's going to pull through. But the doctors have me scared, but I put it in the Lord's hands, and I'm starting to feel a lot of movement now, so I think my baby's going to make it.
And what just happened? We just released that resurrection.
Yes.
Power of Christ, of Jesus.
Yes, you did. I'm starting to feel movement.
You feel movement?
Yes.
And what else do you feel?
I feel like I'm happy.
Hey, Phoenicia?
Yes?
So, anyways, what just happened to you?
Well, I found out I had lost my baby, but now I'm feeling all kind of movements, and I think it's going to pull through. But the doctors have me scared, but I put it in the Lord's hands, and I'm
I'm starting to feel a lot of movement now, so I think my baby's going to make it.
And what just happened? We just released that resurrection power of Christ, of Jesus.
Yes, yeah. And I'm starting to feel movement.
You feel movement?
Yes.
And what else do you feel?
I feel like I'm happy. I hope it goes through and everything be just fine.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Phoenicia. We love you.
You still hot?
Can we just freeze that? I'll just freeze that where it is. Thank you. That was Phoenicia. And that, as you saw, was a resurrection of a dead baby. She heard her story. She was going to have to go into hospital and have an operation and have the baby removed surgically a few days later. And what the team did, which is what I really hope you guys are going to be doing tomorrow afternoon, they went out on the streets and received words of knowledge from Jesus about the treasure who he wanted them to find and focus on. And I've got the testimonies here, we'll show you in just a moment. I think I can do that. The words of knowledge came, and I'll show you. No, wrong way. There we go. Now, there's lots of writing on the page. That's not all, sort of, it's not rubbish. It's just that God was showing them all sorts of stuff. But there was two relevant pieces of knowledge that came up. Bright orange, which was her top, clearly, and crescent moon. Now, crescent moon you might associate with something like a mosque. It was nothing to do with that at all. It was a crescent moon on a pavement. And there we have it there. Maybe it looks more like a fishtail, perhaps. But anyway, that was found on a pavement. And those words of knowledge were received by the team. It was one of my teams that I'd sent out. And they looked for the person with the orange top. They looked for the crescent moon. And the lady was standing on the pavement beside the crescent moon. I mean, it's sort of kind of, really, really, yeah. Okay. And another, it's not, you can't see it on the writing there, but on the side it does say baby deceased. And that was another word of knowledge that God had given about this treasure, this person. And the next one is, although we didn't see it in any of the DVD, but there was a bus bench, just a bench seat. It was very, very close by. So those four words of knowledge led the team to that particular lady, Phoenicia, and God reached out and touched her. And that's the heart and the spirit of what I really believe we're going to be doing tomorrow afternoon. And you'll be going out, I hope so, I hope you will flow with this, with us. The team leaders who are the ministry team will be leading a small group of you out onto the streets to receive words of knowledge from Father himself and lead you to his treasure. The ones who he wants to speak to, ones who have need, ones who Holy Spirit just wants to touch and bring a healing touch to. So hopefully you're going to be part of that tomorrow. That would be exciting. Okay, bless you. Is that exciting?
Yes.
I know it is. I get fired up. I could spend the whole evening just sharing testimonies. But I can't do that. I want to bring some teaching about the biblical basis for... Alan, can we move to the next package, please? Thank you. Oh, look at that, you see. Isn't Alan brilliant? It's so good. Okay, well, I want to take a look with you just now. You've seen some testimonies. I've spoken about testimonies, and there's loads of testimonies I could share with you. Literally, I've got pages of them. And I want to make it quite clear again, it's not about, isn't Malcolm wonderful? No, it's Jesus in Malcolm who's wonderful. And he's the one that's done it. And I just give him the glory every time. And I want to make that, you'll hear that a million times over this weekend, but I never want anybody to look at me and think, wow, you know, hasn't he done great? No, did you please ever think that? It's what he has done which is great, and I give him the glory. My life is subservient to his will and purposes, and that's the way I want it to be, every minute of my life. And I would hope and pray that would be your heart too. And if it is your heart, he'll take you into the fullness of what he's got. He really will. I can promise you that because he's done it for me and he's doing it for me, and so he will for every one of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. We heard Gordon share that earlier this evening. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. There's a God's order. A God's order is seeking his kingdom. So praise God. Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the, let's just call it the teaching, the theology, if you like. Is healing for today? Well, clearly it is. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't. But I just want to look at some of the scriptures. There's loads we can look at. But I want to share with you just a little something about faith. How much faith does it do you need to receive your healing? Now, there could be all sorts of, we could have little breakout groups discussing that, if you like, but we're not going to do that, because the answer is quite simple, none. And that might shake up some theology. Okay, if it does, see me later. But I want to show you the next, where did I put the thing? Oh, here it is. The next slide. Fly that one. Okay. John 11, verse 43. Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." How much faith did Lazarus have? come on, you're laughing. You haven't heard me finish the question. Before he was raised from the dead. Squiddly pip. Not much, not at all. And if you can't get your head around that one, what about Jairus' daughter? How much faith did she have? A 13-year-old girl, resurrected. You see, it's not about the recipient's faith. Jesus will heal and restore and make well, irrespective of our condition. And I would say to you as well, irrespective of sin. And I'm not suggesting, therefore, that's okay. I'm not. But I'm saying to you, Jesus will heal, and it's out of his healing love that he manifests his life, and people's lives get turned around because they've experienced the miracle signs and wonders. Can you see that? So you see, Jesus doesn't have a precondition. Church has created preconditions. That's called religion. And that makes the hair on the back of my head stand up, because I don't like religion. I love the life of Christ. I come against religion in Jesus' name. I'm sure, I hope you do too. So you don't have to work up anything. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to earn it, deserve it, work for it. The only merit is your need. The only condition is for your need, is your need. And you say, "Jesus, I need a touch from you." And you know he paid the price. He's paid it all. He hung there on the cross. Before he breathed his last breath, he was hanging there and he looked up at the Father and he said, "Father, it is finished." He breathed his last breath and he died. The work of the cross is finished. I want you to hear that. I want you not just to hear it in your head, but hear it in your heart, to hear it in your experience. And when it reaches your experience, you will start living it. And you'll live it like it was real, because it is real. There is no other way. Jesus said, "It is finished. It's a done work." And when I minister to people, when I pray with people, I release healing, or whatever I'm doing with anybody, I look for the gold. I go for the gold. I'm not satisfied with silver and bronze. I'm looking for the gold. I'm looking for the finished work of the cross. And my heart is to release the finished work of the cross over anybody and everybody that I minister to. Whether it be a group of 40 people or 240, it doesn't really matter, 400, it doesn't matter. I want to release the finished work of the cross. Are you with me on that? Yes, of course you are. That's why you're here. I want to encourage you and fire you up with the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit that I carry. I want to release his Spirit of love to you. I'm going to impart this to you tomorrow. We're going to share this tomorrow. We're going to be some teaching tomorrow morning on all of that. Let's not get caught up in that just now. But my heart, because it's the heart of Father, when I say my heart, can I say to you, I'm prophesying from the heart of Yahweh when I say my, it's what I feel. It's not so much me, it's what is him in me that's saying it to you. That the heart of the Father is that you are fired up and so filled with him that you bubble over. And you know it's out of the overflow of his life and his love and the power of his Spirit in you that you minister to others. It's when you are so filled and you bubble over. Take a bottle of champagne, tip it into a glass, all over the place. If you're not careful with it, you lose half of it. That's an awful waste. But you know, in a sense, God just wastes his love on us. And he fills us up so much that we bubble over. And it's out of that bubbling over that we splash other people around us. Can you get that picture? That we impart to others who and what we are, who we carry. So we carry the mighty power and the life and the love of heaven. His name is Jesus. Wow, I'm excited about it. Woo-hoo. I go completely off notes periodically. That's okay, though. Right, good. Okay, the next slide, here we go. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Okay, what is the story of Lazarus all about? Well, there's a whole evening's teaching in that, which we're not going to do. Not time for that. But there's an awful lot in this, because the whole life of Jesus was about bringing glory to the Father. And the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that he has enabled us to perform by his Spirit in us bring glory to the Father. And that's what this miracle is all about. And every miracle, the healings that I have shared with you, and there's countless many, many more, loads of them, all bring glory to God. And that's my heart. And I believe it's your heart too. That's why you're here. To have a life-transforming experience of Jesus and to go out of this place a changed man and woman, so filled and fired up with him, you're going to say, "Yes, Jesus, we're going to do it in your name." And I believe he's going to do it, and I know he's going to do it. Yeah. I don't say I believe, meaning I think. I'm saying I believe because I do believe it. He's going to do it. You know all you have to do? The only one thing you have to do to walk in the fullness of what God has got is utter one little word with three letters. It begins with Y and ends in S. You can guess the middle letter. Yes. Come on. That's all he requires of us, is just to say yes to him. But our yes has to be more than just a word from our lips. The yes has to be a transformation of our lifestyle and lifestyle choices and the things we're doing and everything we're doing, everything that is us, everything that is Malcolm, I believe is laid upon the altar of sacrifice. As Abraham laid Isaac upon the altar, he was the very promise of God. And Abraham said to God, God said to Abraham, "I want you to sacrifice him." Now that was strange because God had actually prohibited human sacrifice at that point in time. But Abraham was still obedient to the word of God, and he was willing to slay the very promise. Seek first the kingdom of God. God said, "Okay, that's fine. There's a ram in the thicket. That'll do nicely. That'll do nicely." You see, God just wants us to lay our lives upon that altar of sacrifice. And that's going to be a different price for every one of us. Could you imagine? Try and imagine for a second the very promise of God to you being laid upon the altar and sacrificed back to him. In the case of Abraham, it was a life. That's unbearable. I can't get my head into that. I don't need to do that. But God wants our lives to be put on the altar of sacrifice. We say yes to him and let him have his way. I've said yes to him. I'm paying quite a high price for it. I'm not talking about money now. Forget that. Not what we're talking about. But in terms of, you know, I'm out of the U.S. for, you know, 2/3 of the year, away from my family, away from my church, and, you know, you guys, you might be glad about that. Hope not. I get a thumbs up from Gordon. It's all right. But no, seriously. You know, there's a high price to pay, but I'm willing to do it for a season of time that God calls me to walk in that season, and out of it's going to come great, rich fruit. And I know I'm walking that some of that fruit now. There's more to come. So just say yes to him and say, "Jesus, I'm prepared to change my lifestyle to get into all that you've got. I want to receive everything you've got for me. I want to be that fire-filled revivalist. I want to receive from you. I want to reach into the heavens and I want to call out everything that Christ has paid for. And I want to release it to your creation." If you can say yes to God for that, then believe me, you're going to fly. You will fly. And it's not my word to you. I believe it's the promise of God to you. You will fly. Because that's his heart for every one of us, every single one of us. I hear people sometimes saying to me, "Well, it's all right for you. You're single, not by choice, but you're single, you're free, you can travel the world, you're retired and all the rest of it." And I say, "Yeah, that's fine. It's also okay for you too, because God will use you exactly where you are. He doesn't wait for you to retire. He doesn't wait for your kids to grow up and leave home. He doesn't wait for you to pay off your mortgage or to pay off the car loan or whatever it is. Or wait for the cat and the dog to die. No, he's saying, I will use you." Definitely. Definitely. Let's be careful with that one. But seriously, though. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Lost my train of thought now. Where was I? He just wants you to say yes to him where you are. Yeah. And he will use you where you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation. Not everybody travels the world. Imagine if everybody traveled the world but always saying hello to each other with aircraft passing. Oh, hello, you know. Doesn't work like that, does it? No. We need somebody here to fill the pews. Isn't that right, Gordon? Come on, let's have it. I fill them for about 3 months of the year, and the rest of it's down to you guys. But seriously, though, we're having some fun, I know. It's good. It's okay. It's good to have fun. But, you know, God's just wanting you to say yes to him. Yes to him. I know I'm laboring it because I'm feeling it in my heart. It's burning inside me. And when something burns inside me, I have to just continue with it until God says, that's it. And he's not saying, that's it. He's saying, I just want my life and my love to be poured out upon every one of you, to experience the fullness of my life and my love and my power. Because what I paid for at Calvary is for you. It's for every one of you. If you will lay down your lives afresh for me, lay down your lifestyle and say, I want what you've got for me and I am prepared to pay the price. I hear God saying, if you will say that to me, I will take you into the fullness and I'll open up doors for you and I'll shine lights on paths that you don't even know exist and you'll walk a phenomenal walk with me. And I hear the Spirit saying, you'll see miracles, signs and wonders and transformation in your life and your lifestyle and your homes and your businesses, where you work, whatever you're involved in, whatever you touch, wherever you walk, your footprints will leave behind the footprint of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that? I believe God has got that for every one of us here tonight. This is not on my notes. I've hardly even looked at them, truly. I just feel this is the unction of the Spirit right now to encourage you and bless you and take you to a whole new level. Do you know, I say to my interns, when I'm at Bethel, I have a team of three interns for this year, and incredibly wonderful men and women who serve my vision and what I'm doing. They travel with me and are part of the team, which is great. And I say to them, my vision for you is that you exceed me. That you exceed me. What does that mean? It means I want you to take a look at me and see what you see that is good and valuable. Take it, multiply it, grow it, and go further with it. I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to say it. One of the problems in the Western church today, in Europe and the US, is that leadership can hold people back because of insecurities. I am a leader in Bethel. And my heart is to say to my interns, I want you to grow beyond me. I'm secure enough in my walk with Christ, in my walk in life, in my walk in the world, and my relationships to say, you exceed me, and I will celebrate you. And I will support you on your journey. Do you know, if we don't have those who we mentor exceeding us, we end up with a church year by year of diminishing returns. Because we have glass ceilings. I didn't plan to say all that. I just feel it dropped into my heart right now. So I say to every one of us, let's just reach out and reach up and say, Jesus, I want everything you've got. And you go for it. You go for it. I shared that because I just felt Holy Spirit was on that for that moment. Oh, here are my notes. It's true. Happens all the time. Okay. Well, we give God the glory. We've looked at that slide there. Okay, let me have a look at the next one. Here we go. I think I can manage this. Oh, yes, a whole bunch of healing scriptures. Now, you'll be glad to know I'm not going to be reading all those tonight. Breakfast is served in the morning. No. But that's you're really relieved, aren't you, madam? I can see that in your face. Yeah, that's good. It's there's a whole, and there's many more. I mean, that's just a sample of both the Old and the New Testament. Of healing scriptures. Scriptures where God spoke out the word and he healed the sick. And they came to him and they were healed. They reached out to him and they were healed. The scriptures are full of it from Genesis to Revelation. Does God heal today? Uh-huh. Was the price paid? Uh-huh. Did it end 50 years after Christ died? No. It still goes on today because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and he is for tomorrow. It's the same Jesus, and the same Spirit of love is poured out today as it was then. The scriptures are so full of it, so clear. I want to share with you something which really touches my heart deeply. I want to share with you the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and in the courtyard. I asked God to show me, I asked him to take me behind the scenes, in a sense, if that makes sense to you. I asked him to show me, give me a deeper revelation of what was going on in the Garden of Gethsemane and during his arrest and the whipping and beatings that he took. And I believe God has done that in some measure. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we read that Jesus sweated blood. Now, the sweating of blood is called hematidrosis. I'm going to come on to that one quickly. I'm going to jump a few slides here. Is that the one? I've lost it. Oh, here we are, hematidrosis. There we go. Hematidrosis. That's what it's called. What causes a human being to sweat blood? Well, it is a genuine medical condition that is known to the medical world. And when somebody's blood pressure kind of goes through the roof, you might say, they may suffer a stroke, or they may, in fact, sweat blood from their skin. It's because the little blood capillaries around the sweat glands rupture with the high blood pressure, and blood then leaks out through the sweat glands and onto the skin surface. Why does that happen? Well, when the blood pressure is very, very high. So, okay, by implication then, Jesus' blood pressure was sky high. Why? Why was his blood pressure sky high? Because he was God. His blood pressure was sky high because Jesus was unique. He was all God, but he was also all man. And what was going on in his body? His body was physical, but he was nevertheless all God. The deity and humanity, his deity and humanity had come together in one being, Jesus Christ. And his blood pressure rose so much because he could see with his humanity, his humanness, if you like. He knew because of the deity, he was informed because he was all-knowing. He knew what was going to be happening to him. He knew in advance everything, every detail of what he was going to suffer and experience. And that caused his blood pressure to kind of rise and go through the roof, and he sweated blood. But nevertheless, he went through it. Nevertheless, he stood there and was arrested. And he was taken away. And do you know, he knew as he was being taken away, he knew what was going to happen to him. He was beaten by the Jews. He was taken into the courtyard. He would have been tied to a whipping post or something similar. Reports vary exactly what it was, but it doesn't matter. He would have been tied to some sort of post. He may have been naked or barely. And he would have been whipped, lashed with a cat of nine tails or something similar. This was a method of horrendous torture, as you could imagine. And he was flailed with this, and it would have been flailed past his body, ripped past his body. It wasn't just two or three times. The scriptures tell us that his face, his body was beyond recognition. Beyond recognition, he was beaten and he was whipped so much. Could you imagine what somebody would look like? They're so beaten up and ripped apart you can't recognize them. I don't want to try and picture that. It's too much to picture. But that's what happened to our Christ. That's what happened to King Jesus. And he did it all for us. He did it for you and for me, for our healing, for our restoration, for our salvation. I want to look at what salvation is in a few moments. And I'm going to say this to you, and this is not new theology. I'm not trying to do that. I will never do that. But I'm expressing to you an opinion, and I want you just to accept what I'm saying as an opinion, as a view. That I would suggest to you that every drop of blood, every piece of skin, every bit of flesh, every bit of his body that was ripped apart for us, every wound, every gash, I'm saying to you, I believe, bore the name of a disease today. Now, please hear me. I'm expressing an opinion on that. I can't make that any clearer to you. I'm expressing a view. Because of what I've seen and what I've experienced when God took me up into the heavens and showed me what Christ went through. It touched my heart. It touched me so deeply inside. And I just felt, all I will say is I just felt God showing me that. I'll put it no further strongly than that to you. It's for you to decide whatever you feel about it. The price he paid was awesome. The price he paid was beyond compare for our healing. I find it incredibly painful when I meet people today that say healing is not for today. I won't get into arguments with people. I was just sharing with Gordon, you know, discussions with folk. I'll talk about stuff, but I won't argue with anybody over anything. I leave it to the Holy Spirit to convict and convince. It's not my job, it's his. But I just felt there's something powerful in that. So I say to you, yes, healing is for today. It was for healing yesterday, it's for today, it's for tomorrow, it's for all time until the end of the age when we all go to be with him and we have perfect bodies. And we could do a little bit of that on account now, couldn't we? Well, I believe he's paid the price for that. I know I'm being slightly humorous, but I mean it too. He's paid the price for us to have a little bit on account now. In fact, I want to see a lot on account now. I prayed with a woman. She was about 35 years of age. She was Chinese. She was in a wheelchair. She was a quadriplegic. And she came into the healing rooms. And Malcolm, being the kind of guy I am, I went straight to, oh, we'll have you in our team. You know, I sort of love a challenge. And I called her across to my team. She'd had what's called a double stroke. And she was paralyzed from the neck down. She couldn't speak, she couldn't move, but her eyes could flutter. And there was somehow or other, she was able to communicate with her carer through her eyes in an incredible way. I didn't understand it, but it was working, it happened. And cut a story short, I just released God's healing love over her body. And with her permission, I put my hands just on her knees. And I released the healing love of Jesus over her legs. And she said through her carer that she felt like an electric shock running through her legs. A buzzing, a sensation of electric shocks, whatever that felt like. The lower part of her legs were able to come up like that. From the knees, they were moving. She hadn't moved for 15 long years. I stood in front of her, and being the crazy guy that I am, I know you don't believe it, but I stood in front of her and I said to her through her carer, I want you to try and kick me as hard as you can. And she managed a little smile. Of course, anybody would. Well, the pastor's laughing now. Come on, okay, a bit later. But I stood about maybe 2 millimeters away, you know, just enough. And she was doing this with her legs, first very slowly, but faster and faster. She was getting the mobility back in the lower part of her limbs. I said, God bless you. We're not stopping there. There's her arms that are still sitting like this. Her hands were sort of curled up a bit, as often happens with people who have strokes. And they were both like this. And again, with her permission, I ran my hand down her arms. I released the healing love of Jesus, and her arms, her hands opened up, and her limbs started to move.